God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. Today, Brother Hutchings continues his visits with Dr. Aaron Judkins and Dr. Carl Ball. If you're a longtime listener to this program, you know that Dr. Ball has participated in many archaeological digs in the Middle East. Dr. Judkins is a researcher and speaker. He's credited with mapping the longest contiguous dinosaur trackway in the Western Hemisphere. To get the program started, here's Brother Hutchings.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Part of our ministry is to expose apostasy wherever it appears. And evolution is apostasy of God's immutable truth.
There is no doubt about that at all.
There are many facets to this ministry, and disputing the theory of evolution, which is contrary, we believe, to the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, that is part of our ministry. And Brother Judkins has done a tremendous work. The amount of research in this work is almost unbelievable. And was it your uncle or great-uncle in the cardiac division of the medical
field? He was Dr. Melvin P. Judkins. He was a cardiologist in California in the 70s who was on a team that invented the heart catheterization technique, angioplasties, and led into modern-day drug-eluting stents and so on.
Now, that was your great-uncle?
Yes.
You've done a tremendous mission here in completing this tremendous study on special creation versus theory of evolution and proving much of the evidence is based in your book on collecting footprints from around the world in stone adjacent to dinosaur footprints, proving that man and dinosaurs walk together. Now, if this is done, Brother Aaron, which I think you've already done, now this should prove that the theory of evolution is wrong.
Well, it is wrong. It's an antiquated theory over the last 160 years that Darwin didn't originally come up with the idea. That came all the way back from ancient Greece and Mesopotamia. Darwin used a lot of his references from Comte de Buffon, which is a French biologist in the 1800s, and he produced a 44-volume work that Darwin referenced to. But it goes back further to ancient Greece and Mesopotamia. Now, here's the formula for making life, for the evolutionary formula for making life. It's add some dirt, plus some water, plus some time, and it equals living systems eventually. Now, the evolutionary formula for making a whole universe is you add nothing plus nothing equals time, and then you add that with an element of matter to get 92 natural elements, add more time, and then you get a structured universe with orbiting planets, galaxies, quasars, moons, etc. Now, that is quite an amazing event.
Sounds like religious speculation to me.
Well, there's an element of faith in Darwinism, so it's nothing new. It's not based on empirical science at all. It's mainly a philosophical science. And that's the way it should be taught in the schools, but it's taught as fact. And that's the problem. When it goes all the way back to Greece and Mesopotamia, the ancient Greek Milesian philosophers, Anaximander, Thales, and Empedocles.
And as we observe these individuals, they had a concept of spontaneous generation, that life would arise naturally out of mud. And in Darwin's time, we had just gone through a period prior to him when spontaneous generation was accepted. But Louis Pasteur dismissed that forever, that spontaneous generation does not occur. You might have flies appear, even bacteria appear, but the bacteria are already in the air and the larvae are already available. Life does not spontaneously generate. And as you look across the contents of your book, which this audience needs, every school teacher needs it, every Sunday school teacher, every parent needs this, every pastor needs a copy of this book, because it goes back into the complexities of a beginning. You just gave us a thumbnail sketch. It goes into radiometric dating. It goes into the miracle of time, the major dating methods, and the strata and the fossils. But the audience needs to know that in the public classroom, the theory of evolution is introduced with a simple statement: evolution simply means change. We all change, therefore evolution occurs. And with that innocuous, simple statement, the introduction is made inferring that this soil that you described with the inorganic mineral compounds could change sufficiently to produce tiny, original living system, and then in time produce other life forms and finally produce man. Well, we must make a distinction between microevolution and macroevolution. And in the book, you do that. Microevolution is variation within genetic boundaries of material that's already alive. You talk about, in the book, the incredible problem of the gap between non-living compounds and living compounds, and you have a medical background. And there are new books published on this perennially demonstrating that there is no way. Not only has it never been proved in the laboratory, if you combine any or all of these elements, that they will produce one single living cell or a protocell. That has never been demonstrated. How this actually could happen cannot even be imagined, as some leading scholars have admitted. Microevolution is variation within systems that are already alive, and we certainly admit that that change takes place. But that change is simply a reshuffling of the information or a loss of information. It never graduates, no matter whether we use natural selection, whether we use mutational introduction by radiation or any other system, or detrimental carcinogenic materials being added to our diet. These changes never introduce new information. They always reshuffle or destroy information. So your book goes into many of these details in the background before actually introducing some of these footprints.
Well, I wanted to give people a working knowledge of the theory, so by the time they get to the footprint section, they'll understand the dating techniques, the geological column, and how they come to the conclusions that they come to. And so when they give out erroneous dates like 3.6 million years, you'll know the information behind all that.
Aaron, natural selection certainly works in our system. You deliberately selected a beautiful young lady. She selected you as well. But of course, we know that the lady dominates the courtship. We think we're in charge, and then we learn that we haven't been in charge at all. The lady dominates that, and you have a beautiful son, Tannen. Tannen, in fact, in the next few days is going to have a little non-speaking part in a movie, a full-feature movie that's being produced near our hometown of Glenrose. So this natural selection works. You're attracted to an individual. She's attracted to you. And the offspring is a beautiful progeny of blessing. Now, natural selection works, but actually Edward Blyth published 30 years before Charles Darwin published his Origin of Species. Blyth published a tremendous treatise. He was a creationist. He was a naturalist. He studied nature. And he published a tremendous treatise demonstrating that natural selection preserves the integrity of the species and the kind and the variety, rather than going off into bizarre systems that would self-destruct. and be eliminated by natural selective choice. Natural selection works. Charles Darwin simply stole the idea, and he got it basically from his grandfather Erasmus, but he stole the idea and applied it to unlimited variation, which is totally unjustified.
Dr. Carl Ball, Dr. Aaron Judkins, and Brother Noah Hutchings will be back shortly with more interesting information from the book, Evolution and Human Fossil Footprints. To get the 256-page book, which is written by Dr. Judkins, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address is swrc.com. One copy will be sent in appreciation of your $15 gift in the U.S., $17 in Canada. And now here again is Brother Hutchings.
I can understand the fallacy of evolution in the sense that let us say that it's impossible, we know, but let us say that even in trillions of chances, let's say, that it is possible for man to develop in two different sexes over millions or billions of years and produce an offspring to perpetuate the species. But that's only one species. But at the same time, you have to have millions of other forms of life developing at the same time.
You are right, Dr.
Millions of forms of life, marine life, insect life, animal life, plant life, all operating on the same thesis. It's impossible, literally impossible.
There's a total supporting cast that makes life possible. For instance, bacteria are absolutely necessary. Were it not for bacteria destroying or consuming and converting the excrement of that human couple that speculatively evolving, were the bacteria not in place to destroy that excrement, literally, there are published details showing that in 90 days, the life that was here would disappear. And you need something for the human beings to eat. And that must have proteins identical to the digestive system compatibility of the human being.
Meanwhile, you have to have an earth, you have to have an environment, you have to have an atmosphere of something like 82% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, 1% CO2 or carbon. So you have to have the perfect atmosphere. You have to have the sun so close to the earth. You have to have the sun putting out so much atomic energy. You have to have the earth turning around at 1,000 miles an hour, not at 1,500 miles an hour, 500 miles an hour. If it turned around that much, you wouldn't have any life here. So everything has to operate not only the so-called evolving, but you have to have all these other factors in place at one time, the correlation of thousands of things that all had to happen at one time. Impossible.
You are precisely correct. In fact, a major scientist, astrophysicist, two of them, Sir Frederick Hoyle and Chandra Wickramasinghe, just took the first of those problems, the chance of life just appearing, a single simple life form, a single cell appearing, would be one chance in 10 to the 40,000th power. Then they went on to add in this technical description, that's enough to destroy Darwin and the entire theory of evolution. And these were naturalistic atheists who were doing the talking. So to espouse evolution is to espouse an unscientific theory literally for the purpose of avoiding accountability to God.
Yes. Brother Aaron, and looking over the book, I'm just amazed here at your research. Again, why did you embark on such a mission?
Well, it was part of my master's thesis in biblical studies. I just graduated with my doctorate in biblical studies in May. So a lot of this research was part of that. But the other half of it was I started a decade ago on my own. And so I already had a lot of this research in my files. And it was so intriguing to me, I wanted to study it further. And here's the concept of evolution. It really, Dr. Baugh, takes the place of the God of the Bible, because it says, evolution says it endows matter with the ability to create its own existence as it inherits an infinite capacity to foresee future requirements.
Oh, that sounds like God to
me. Well, that's called omniscience. And evolution enlists its own efforts to produce and sustain life, and that's omnipotence. And it initiates communication with all entities under its universal influence, and that's omnipresence.
Only God has those attributes.
That's correct.
But evolution is now, in the mind of modern evolutionists, endowed with that potential to actually place matter as God.
Well, men would rather have the forbidden fruit of the tree than to have an accountability to the God of the Bible, and that's what it comes down to.
Yes, and studying this book, I'm just amazed at the facts and evidence that you have presented here, proving over and over that Darwinism certainly is a fallacious and misleading theory that is leading many to turn away from the Bible. And, you know, we read in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. By Jesus were all things created, and for him were all things created. If you do not believe in a creator, you cannot believe in John 3:16.
That is correct. Without a creator, that nullifies John 3:16 and leaves mankind without any hope.
We cannot even fathom how many young people today are going to college and they've been raised in Christian homes, maybe even been taken to church, and their faith is being destroyed in college through the teaching of so-called theories of evolution. I remember my first year in high school. I was back in about 1933 or 34, and I was in a basic science class. And the science teacher was introducing the theory of evolution, and there was a young boy there who'd been brought up in church, and he says, well, I think his name was Wheelis, he says, Mr. Wheelis, my grandmother says that you are wrong, that God created everything, and that the theory of evolution is a lie. And I remember that science teacher jumping over the first row. He grabbed that young man by the shirt. The buttons just flew everywhere, and he took him and threw him out of the class about out in the hall and told him not to come back. Now, that was in 1934, I believe it was.
That is absolutely shameful. That young man had the right to express his opinion and to ask the question, essentially saying, is there any justification, Mr. Teacher, Mr. Professor? That's an absolute shame. Now, if that young man had had Aaron's book, in one of the chapters, he goes through the so-called transitional forms, the missing links, and explains every one of them as either being lower primate or being truly man. There are no intermediate forms. The links are all continuously missing. Then he goes into anatomy, where in that classroom, if that young man had had this book, he could have demonstrated from the book, from the drawings, some of these technical drawings from technical literature that Aaron Judkins has, showing the anatomy of the human footprint. But then I'd like to ask, on another broadcast, Dr. Hutchings, I understand we're going to get into some of the actual footprints themselves so we can discuss the features of these and tell this broad audience what scientific verification there is and is available in this book. But I'd like to ask Aaron Judkins, in the moments that remain, you have entire trails of human footprints that have actually been found and that disappear under the ledge so that additional research can be made, and yet the standard evolutionary community will not permit that additional research to be made.
Well, they won't even accept empirical evidence that lays before their eyes. There are trails, we'll talk about that in the next program, in Australia, in Mexico, Africa, Nicaragua, France, etc. And if it doesn't fall into their theory, then they just discard it altogether. It's a real shame.
Again, thank you, Brother Aaron and Brother Ball, for being with us on the broadcast this week, and for this tremendous book, which Salvage Real Ministry has been privileged to put in print and to make available. And that is just one of the ministries here at this broadcast, putting out books like this that certainly will stand for the truth and prevent the loss of our young people to ungodly beliefs. But here now is Brother Jerry to tell you how you can get a copy of this book, the number to call, the address to write. Also, look on our website.
The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website address is swrc.com. Dr. Judkin's thoroughly documented book is 256 pages in length. You can get one copy for a gift of $15 in the United States, $17 for our Canadian listeners. But you very well may want more than one. If so, call for the gift amount based upon the number of copies you need. The number again, 800-652-1144. The three programs in this series are also available on CD or tape in appreciation of your $17 contribution in the U.S., $18 in Canada. Evolution and Human Fossil Footprints is the result of a lot of time and effort by Dr. Judkins, and in its pages he presents a strong case that the biblical account of creation is correct and that evolution is not. As a matter of fact, the evolutionists can't explain much of the evidence presented in this startling book, so they simply dismiss it out of hand. Don't miss getting your own copy of Evolution and Human Fossil Footprints, one for an offering of $15 in the U.S., $17 in Canada. Call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address is swrc.com. This program is on your station only through the tax-deductible contributions you make, and we appreciate them. There are some listeners we really do need to hear from, though. If you hear us over KDIA in the San Francisco area, WAIT Chicago, KIOU, or KWDF in Louisiana, please let us know you want us to continue on your station. Getting Dr. Judkin's book is one way to do that. Be sure to let us know the call letters of your station when you call or write. Next, over many of these stations, is a Bible in the News report. Be here tomorrow for the conclusion of this series on your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries' Bible in the News report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program. I'm Jerry Giltner. I'll be bringing you today's report. Miranda warnings were mandated by a 1966 United States Supreme Court decision in the case of Miranda versus Arizona. Essentially, this ruling says that U.S. law enforcement agents must tell a criminal suspect that anything he says can be used against him in a court of law, that he has the right to remain silent, and that he has the right to legal representation. Notice that the Miranda Declaration is for domestic criminals. President Obama, apparently being unfamiliar with the military and war, wanted prisoners of war to be given those same rights. Not so, says the U.S. Senate. We're quoting from Act for America. This was posted August 17, 2009. Quote, on June 11th, the Weekly Standard reported the following news. The Obama Justice Department has quietly ordered FBI agents to read Miranda rights to high-value detainees captured and held at U.S. detention facilities in Afghanistan, according to a senior Republican on the House Intelligence Committee. Less than 4 months after this report, during a Senate Committee on Armed Services hearing, Senator Jeff Sessions introduced Senate Amendment Number 1661. According to a response letter received on August 4th from another senator, Amendment 1661 would prevent Miranda rights from being provided to suspected al-Qaeda terrorists who are detained by members of the U.S. military intelligence community. The amendment was approved by voice vote and included in the overall defense authorization bill, which then passed the Senate 87-7. Most people aren't aware of this significant congressional action. It wasn't on the front page of newspapers around the country. But who knows how many acts of terror will be thwarted in the future due to intelligence obtained from captured terrorists who are not read Miranda rights. Close quotes. This certainly is good news in a day when there is far more disturbing news than good. Those senators who voted for the measure are to be commended for making an intelligent decision to correct a situation that could potentially lead to the death of untold numbers of people. Maybe we should give them an attaboy. What they have done is a reminder that the Bible teaches that when right rules, we all win. We read, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. That's from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2. And that's today's Bible in the News Report, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. These reports, as well as questions and answers, are published each month in a booklet. If you'd like to get a complimentary copy of that booklet or a complimentary copy of this report, call, write, or visit our website. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. If you want to write, the mailing address is Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Or you may visit the website at swrc.com. You have a special invitation to join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program when, once again, we will bring you either a Bible in the News report or a question and answer over this radio station.